Welcome to Voices Unplugged, featuring stories that matter, voices that inspire, and perspectives that may challenge the status quo. Unplug from the noise of everyday life to connect with fascinating student hosts from all walks of life. So grab your headphones, sit back, and let's amplify the conversations that need to be heard.
Millerstown Talks!
A village is smaller than a town and usually only has between 500 to 2,500 citizens. Because there are so few people in a village, that means everyone knows everyone. And there really are no secrets in a village. When rumors start to fly, how does that affect the small village with a population of 500 citizens? Can these rumors have deadly consequences? We will discuss that question in this week's episode of Village Town Talks with my co-host, Carly. My co-host, Carly, and I were raised in a small village, so we both know how fast drama can spread in such a small community. The rumors literally spread like wildfire in a village.
That's so true. We have watched small rumors completely derail someone's life, to the point where they had to move out of the village because of all the harassment.
I think one of the most recent events of drama overspilling in our hometown village was the high school teacher that got fired because of all the rumors, right?
Yeah, that was crazy. The rumors started at the beginning of the school year, and within a year, the teacher was fired, and he apparently had to move to another state to find a teaching job. You actually had him as a teacher back in high school, right? What even were the rumors?
That's right. I had him for 2 years at school. I mean, he really was not all that bad. I can't believe his life was just completely upended by what happened. The rumors were that he showed explicit content to some of his older students, and that he was a hardcore drug addict. The thing that sealed his fate, though, was when the janitor asked him to grab something in the girls' locker room after a game. He walked in there and didn't know there were girls changing, and obviously that's a big problem. When the girls' parents found out, it ended his career at the high school.
I mean, it makes sense. He got fired, but it almost sounded like the locker room was a framed event. Like, the janitor wanted him to get fired.
I agree. The janitor actually had a daughter at the school who was actually in the locker room at that time. So I thought it was strange that he asked the teacher to go in there, knowing the girls were in there. During the school board's investigation, the janitor told the school board that he never actually told the teacher to go in, and that the teacher should immediately be fired for being a perv. But other people saw the janitor tell the teacher to go in there. But the village and the school board decided that there were too many rumors, and it would be best for the teacher to go.
So the village didn't even try and find out if the rumors were true or not?
Well, I was involved with everything that was happening, and I can tell you that they were all just rumors, and that there was no truth about them. The students said they didn't like his teaching and that he was too strict. So they told their parents these rumors about a new pervy teacher. And once that was started, it basically sealed his fate. The village was fierce and took him out quickly. So for the next part of today's podcast episode, we are still going to be talking about the same village. And I just want to remind the listeners that this is a super small place. I'm pretty sure they only have around 500 people living in the village, which is an insanely small population. In fact, the village is so small they don't even have their own police force. But that doesn't bother much of the village folk, because why would they need police in such a tight-knit community where everyone knows everyone?
That might be exactly why they need a police force. Because the community knows everyone's business, and when the village sees a problem, they band together, because their community is so close together. Don't you remember the whole murder situation that happened a few years back?
Oh yeah, how could I forget something like that? So to fill in our viewers, basically what happened was a man who was born and raised in the village suddenly disappeared. His parents, children, and friends were desperate to find him, but the rest of the village didn't seem all that concerned. They just saw him as trouble. So, eventually, the police decided to stop looking into the disappearance. That is, until a few months later.
That's when a train conductor noticed something on top of the railroad tracks. just outside of town. He stopped the train and got out to move it. That's when he realized it was a dead body. He obviously called the cops, and an investigation began. It was eventually revealed that the body was the man from the village that went missing.
Everyone talked about how crazy it was that this guy died, but the village wrote it off as just some drug addict that died in the woods. However, his family and friends saw it completely different. The cops saw it differently, too.
There was just no way that guy just dropped dead on the tracks. He was literally just bones. He had no clothes on except for one boot, and they found him wrapped in a tarp and missing an entire leg. Obviously, anyone who knew about this would say it was a homicide, but the village refused to see it like that.
Well, I think that's because the village was in on it. Directly across from where the body was found was a giant barn that caught on fire the day before the body was found. The fire department was called by a fellow citizen, but it turns out the owners just decided they no longer wanted their barn, and instead of tearing it down, they lit it on fire? That seems really suspicious and weird to me. They probably had incriminating evidence in there.
There was also the house that everyone said smelled like decomposing bodies the entire time this guy was missing. They even had the cops call him multiple times to do wellness checks because they thought the owners died. They kept their doors and windows completely locked up and never left the house. Then, suddenly, a few days before the body was found, all their windows and doors were wide open. It seemed as if they were airing out the house. Then they sold their car, and their reason was they couldn't get a smell out of the trunk. It seems super suspicious to me.
The family thinks it's weird, too. I've actually talked with the mother of the missing person, and she said the cops told them it was actually a homicide, and she begged them to check the house that smelled and the barn that burnt. She claimed the entire village hated him because he brought trouble to their small town, and that those two homeowners worked together to finally get rid of him.
I never got the chance to talk to her, but I did talk to the lead investigator a few months after they found him, and they told me they knew who did kill him. It wasn't drug-related like the entire village says it was, and that they just don't have enough evidence to make a good case that would hold up in court.
That's horrible. Hopefully they will get enough evidence to convict whoever did it. I honestly believe it was those two homeowners in the village, which is scary to think about in our small hometown village, that out of the 500 occupants, two of those could be cold-blooded murderers.
It is scary. And think about it. The village had enough ability to remove a teacher from their school with just rumors, and he said, she said, because they saw him as a threat to their children. Who says that the village also didn't get rid of this man because they were worried about a drug influence on the youth of their village?
I mean, that's crazy scary and sounds like something out of a horror movie. But with this village's track record, it makes sense. Let's just hope the police finally find enough evidence one day and put someone behind bars. This has been Village Town Talks, my co-host Carly. On this week's episode, we talked about a dangerous rumor that ended a teacher's career and a cold-blooded murder in a small village. Join us next week where my co-host and I will talk about the problem with politics in a small village.
Village Town Talks!
That was Jake July with the Subatomic Particle Band, and you're listening to WYTH The Bay. I'm Sarah Darival with your afternoon weather and traffic. Today's weather is favorable, with winds coming in off the sea at only 15 miles per hour and a 10% chance of rain. Expect humidity to remain high throughout the day as well as the rest of the week as several storm fronts come in. If you're planning on traveling between islands, now is the time to do it. The seas are as calm as they will be for the next couple weeks, with choppier waters picking up on Tuesday and continuing until the storms clear out. Traffic today is heavy, with several accidents reported along the coast. The Muirtown port is recommending all unnecessary traffic take a detour to its sister port in Kolatora, where all merchant and shipping vessels will be provided with a free land transport to the Muirtown Square Market. Live deliveries or emergency vehicles may show passes and be admitted with caution into the port. Several minor collisions have also been reported off the shore of Aranakis Village and Dressport, and caution is advised when traveling through those areas. The Rexonis Boating Commission would like to urge all unregistered small vehicles traveling into one of the island's ports this weekend to register prior to the island's festival. While it is not required, the commission states it makes distinguishing between boats created for the festival and boats of travelers easier, so that channels may be kept open for traveling boats and do not end up in the festival line on accident. They'd also like to encourage anyone who hasn't attended the Rexonis Festival of Life and Death before to attend this weekend, as locals are creating several boats and walk-up areas on the beach dedicated to educating people about the history of the island's culture and the meaning of the celebration. Now for a message from our sponsor. Come down to Gala's Bar and Grill for a good time and a better lunch. Located along the west bank of the Poit Kim River between Bangay and Bukaram, Gala's is accessible as an eat-in, walk-in, take-away, or float-through restaurant. Language and accessibility options may be requested upon entry. Gala's, where home meets heart. Special festival promotion this weekend. Kids eat free. Speaking of the festival, my partner and I will be attending this weekend and reporting live from the end of the parade boat line. If you're there, stop by and say hello. We'd be more than happy to chat with you and even get you on air for a second if you want to tell us about your favorite float this year. Last year, I remember the winds being absolutely horrible. So much that they nearly blew away our entire recording setup. At least this year, the winds are predicted to be favorable and hopefully only blow the boats around, not the rest of us. Really, I'm hoping to see some great fish-themed boats, so if you happen to see fish boats while you're wandering around, point me that way. To continue with the fish theme, I suppose. Up next, we have The Salmon and their new hit single, Sunsets. After that, we'll also be playing Swimming Below the Current by Golden Delusions. During the break, I received a letter from one of our listeners. It reads, "Dear Sarah, I've been listening to your show for a long time now and was wondering if you'd ever be willing to have live musicians come in to play as part of a show. My friends and I have a very easy setup to bring in and thought it could add a little zest to your shows, even if it's not us. Thanks, Corey." Well, Corey, I'd love to have live music play for the station, but since my station is always moving around with little notice, it's kind of hard to book anyone for a set day or location without having to set up somewhere else later on. Just how it goes when you live in a region half controlled by the void. You never know where you're going to end up. In all seriousness, if you or your friends can get in touch with me and we can work something out, I'm sure we can get the station to behave enough for it to work. Later on, in fact, we're going to have a special guest DJ bringing hits he's brought from some amateur musicians on Pier, with a little time to get out and share their music. He calls himself DJ Fowler, so you may recognize his voice from other work he's been in. I won't spoil the surprise, though. Tune in tonight at 7 for the show. With that, we actually have Pier musician Hall Zinthia with her song, 200 Days. After the next break, I'll be switching out with Myra Heistall and heading down to the coast to begin intermittently reporting on the festival. Like I said, if you're down there, come say hi. I won't have a radio station with a fickle location this time, since it will just be me and Apollinaire with our recording equipment. I also might have some treats for those who are stopping by, if you're familiar with Apollinaire's cooking. Alright, next up we have Zephyr Croykin with Neon Crystallis, and I'm Sarah Darival signing off. Don't forget to tune into tomorrow's show from the festival!
Thank you for joining us on Voices Unplugged. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep leading those voices.